Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Again, Paul wasn't sure if he was called up bodily in the body or out of the body, or it was just his spirit was in his body. Probably, again, his body probably laid there in the ground, on the ground outside of Lystra. And it was his spirit that was caught up, and Paul was called into the third heaven. Y'all follow what I'm talking about? After he was stoned and he was left for dead. Well, I don't believe his bodily was raised up and went to heaven. Probably, like he's talking about here, his spirit was taken up, and he saw some things, the Apostle Paul said, that was unlawful to utter. He saw some things, and that's why, also, if you read later, that he says, I think it's 2 Corinthians, where he talks about a messenger, Satan. It was there, he was sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted among men, because the Apostle Paul saw some wonderful things in heaven, and he came back, and so that God would keep him humble, so to speak, unless he would be exalted. Hey, let me tell you what I saw in heaven. God didn't want Paul to do that, so he called a thorn in the flesh. You've heard messages about a thorn in the flesh. And I can't fathom preachers talk about, they don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. Well, maybe it's his eyesight or whatever. And in that passage of scripture, he's so clear about what the thorn in the flesh was, a messenger of Satan. How he was allowed, God allowed that messenger to buffet him, literally beat him up mentally, where, now I won't say he was depressed all the time, but lest he would be exalted, he didn't have to take, what's them pills you have to take sometime when you're depressed? I don't know, I don't take these things. What do you call them? Prozac, whatever these things that kind of get you up, you know, get moving up. Paul didn't have to do that kind of stuff, but at the same time, we understand that Paul had saw some things, again, in the spirit, and John saw some things, said in the spirit, behold, a throne, and it was in heaven, and one that sat on it. And then he describes this Jesus who sat on this throne. Was he, you know, or God, whoever, again, I'm not going to argue with anybody. By the way, sitting on the throne describes that he was the sovereign one. There's nobody, because he's on the throne, he's in control. He's on the throne. And let me give you a quick outline. I blowed my lesson. I got two pages here, and I hadn't even started it. Verse number one is a rapture scene, a rapture scene. Verses number 2 through 8 is a reigning scene, R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. And in that is a firm judgment and a flawless judgment in verse number 3, where he says, he that sat on, looked upon, he that sat was to look upon the was looked like jasper. I tell you, my eyes are bad. And a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about him in the sight, like unto the emerald of God. So we see the judgment of God. And we also see the mercy of God. When it talks about the rainbow, there's the judgment. And then the mercy is pictured in that rainbow. Remember the rainbow with Noah after the judgment of God upon this earth. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the clouds. Remember that song, Gary? And that rainbow was a promise of God's mercy that he wouldn't judge the earth flooded again with the water. Well, we see that here around the throne. To look upon was jasper and sardine. That's clear. The jasper was clear. There's a little bit was so clear it's almost a transparent white. Some people say it could almost be a purple. But it's so clear that you can see through it, it's translucent. And then the sardine is a red stone, and they compared that to God's purity and also the blood that he shed on. That's why he used these two colors. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. That's just some commentators that throw that in there. It talks about the purity of God and his blood. That's why these two stones are mentioned there. And then about the throne and the sight is like unto an emerald. And the emerald's that beautiful green and speaks of the mercy of God. And then we get to the rest of these things about round about the throne were 24 seats and the 24 elders. Now, who are these 24 elders? Is a great question. Some commentators, I love the word commentators, because they're just common people who just put their thoughts down in a book, and there's different thoughts about this. Some people think this is, and they got some great thoughts here, that 12 of them were the, represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and then 12, the other 12 would represent like the 12 apostles. So you got the 24, so you got the Old Testament, and you got the New Testament, which is a great thought. You know, perhaps it is. Others would think it's the is for New Testament churches of the New Testament age and all, and perhaps it is. I do know that as we get later in this book, they talk about every tribe and every language and all. I think it's a worldwide thing. Whichever way you're thinking about it, the gospel is for all people. Whatever side of the fence you're on trying to determine who these 24 elders is, the picture is that the gospel for everybody. It's not just for a chosen few. And we see the gospel is the same in the Old Testament as it was in the New Testament. They were saved in the Old Testament the same way they were saved in the New Testament, the same way we are saved today, by looking at Jesus Christ, that placing their faith and trust in Him. Even though they didn't have a completed scripture, and I got to close here. Let me just leave this with you, and we'll try to finish this later on next week. When they would bring those little lambs in the Old Testament to the temple or to the tabernacle before the temple was built, and even before that, remember Adam in the garden, and there was a lamb that was slaughtered. The Bible didn't say; just said he an animal was killed, and he was clothed with the animal skins. I believe that was a lamb, a picture of Jesus Christ, who, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming out of the wilderness, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." So all through the Old Testament, they would bring these little lambs, or if they didn't have money for that, little doves or whatever they would have as an offering that would look toward the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, even though they couldn't understand it all. Matter of fact, there are so many prophecies. I'm getting that in my message this morning. Prophetic verses in the Old Testament that look toward not only Christ's birth. O thou Bethlehem, remember there in Micah chapter 4, I think, chapter 5, verse 4, something of that nature, where it talks about Bethlehem and all. And so many verses that prophesy the birth of Christ, so many verses prophesy the death of Christ. There's verses that prophesy the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's verses that prophesy the millennial reign of Christ. There's verses that prophesy a new heaven and earth. I'm just saying, all through the Old Testament, if it looks toward the New Testament. The New Testament, and they would say this, the New Testament, the Old Testament looks is the Old Testament, New Testament revealing. New Testament is the Old Testament unfolding it. So you could look back and see these prophecies take place. So Jesus Christ, He was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. And we saw all this in Scripture. So in Revelation chapter number 4, it pictures Jesus Christ, the 24 elders are gathered around the throne, the beasts, and we'll look at them next week, are gathered around the throne. But He is the picture. And I'll close with this. Jesus Christ is the picture of the whole book of Revelation. We're fixing to get into our study where it's blood, guts, and hunks of hair. Everything starts flying. But at the same time, you have to remember Jesus Christ is the center of it all. Of it all. Through the book of Revelation. And we see the elders worshiping Him, who is altogether worthy of our worship. And I'll close with this. Heaven is full of worship. 24 elders, the beast, the angels, the cherub, the seraph, all these beings worship God. Should we not as man also worship God? And I would highly recommend that we start putting into practice proper worship, because we're going to be worshiping for a long, long time in heaven. Okay, Father, we thank You for the time, Lord, for Your word, Lord, for these things that we glean from Scripture. Lord, as John the Apostle said, even so come, Lord Jesus, and until You come for us, may we be found faithful, serving You and loving others till You come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's prepare for worship.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.